From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Micah chapter 2, verse 13. The breaker is come up before them. Inasmuch as Jesus has gone before us, things remain not as they would have been had he never passed that way. He has conquered every foe that obstructed the way. Cheer up now, thou faint-hearted warrior. Not only has Christ traveled the road, but he has slain thine enemies. Dost thou dread sin? He has nailed it to his cross. Dost thou fear death? He has been the death of death. Art thou afraid of hell? He has barred it against the advent of any of his children. They shall never see the gulf of perdition. Whatever foes may be before the Christian, they are all overcome. There are lions, but their teeth are broken. There are serpents, but their fangs are extracted. There are rivers, but they are bridged or fordable. There are flames, but we wear that matchless garment which renders us invulnerable to fire. The sword that has been forged against us is already blunted. The instruments of war which the enemy is preparing have already lost their point. God has taken away in the person of Christ all the power that anything can have to hurt us. Well then, the army may safely march on, and you may go joyously along your journey, for all your enemies are conquered beforehand. What shall you do but march on to take the prey? They are beaten. They are vanquished. All you have to do is divide the spoil. You shall, it is true, often engage in combat, but your fight shall be with a vanquished foe. His head is broken. He may attempt to injure you, but his strength shall not be sufficient for his malicious design. Your victory shall be easy, and your treasure shall be beyond all count. Proclaim aloud the Savior's fame, who bears the breaker's wondrous name, sweet name, and it becomes him well, who breaks down earth, sin, death, and hell.
My God assists me to proclaim.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Unlawful Use of the Law. The text is found in 1 Timothy 1 verse 8, But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. As Dr. Cairns is showing, men in their sin and ignorance have perverted the right use of the law. A right understanding of the purpose of the law is essential for a clear understanding of the gospel. It is unlawful to use the law of God as an excuse for sin. The depraved heart of man rebels against any restriction of his desires and wishes. Unregenerate men hate the expression, Thou shalt not. Then, as some have tried to use the law as a means to salvation, something for which it was never designed. Also, false teachers, such as the Judaizers, have sought to bring believers back under the condemnation of the law. All of these perversions are unlawful uses of God's law. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Unlawful Uses of God's Law.
Back in the first chapter of Romans, you have a mighty catalog of exceeding great sins. Such sins that three times Paul says God gave them up. I can't think of any more horrible words in Scripture. I can't think of anything more terrible to happen to a society or to an individual than to have God give them up. These are terrible sins. And after describing them and passing judgment upon them. In the final verse, verse 32, Paul says, "Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them." And he goes on to show how that they are inexcusable. I think that what Paul has in mind, these people heard the law of God, but they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They simply took the very mention of the things that God abominated, and they longed for them, and they did them. Isn't that how sin entered the race? God said, "Thou shalt not." That's how the whole downward slide commenced. When God said, "Thou shalt not," sin took occasion. Sin used this as its point of departure. Sin turned God's word against himself, against holiness, and led our parents, first parents, into lust. And it's been happening ever since. It's an unlawful use of the law. Tonight, my friend, I want you to know this is no obscure theological point. You find this in everyday life. Just taking the law, the "thou shalt not," and kicking over the traces, and using it as a compulsion to sin. And I tell you tonight, if that's your condition, you thereby expose how deep, how terrible, how blasphemous is the natural state of your heart. The second unlawful use of the law is to use it as a way of salvation. That's what the Jews did. That's what the Judaizers did. And that undoubtedly, at least to some extent, is what the people were trying to do in Ephesus, whom Paul was opposing. Back in the book of Romans again, in chapter 10, verse 3, Paul spoke of the Jews, saying, "They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They were using the law as a means of salvation. That's the error that the New Testament is constantly combating. Now, let me make it clear to you. It is unlawful to use the law to make it a ground of acceptance with God. That's unlawful. "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but let me tell you, that is not something that is contained only in the Roman Catholic Church or in some of the apostate Protestant churches. This is something that has made its way into so-called evangelical and even fundamental churches, and some branches even of Reformed churches, where we pay lip service to justification by free grace. But nonetheless, there is the idea of establishing merit with God by the works of law. The New Testament is adamantly against such a thing. It's unlawful to make the law and the works of the law the ground of acceptance with God. That would be to steal the glory of God. The Bible says it is God that justifieth. If salvation is by law keeping, then we justify ourselves. To use the law against God who gave it is unlawful. It would also deny the grace of God. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. "To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." If you work for something, it's not grace that gives you your wages. You've worked for it, so therefore you've earned it. The New Testament is against any theory that lets men think they can earn anything from God. That destroys the whole teaching of grace. God does not justify the godly. Now that is an apparently outrageous statement. It's a radical statement, but it's a biblical statement. God does not justify the godly. Romans 4 verse 5, God justifieth the ungodly. Could anything be plainer? That's grace. There would be no grace in justifying the godly. There would be no grace in giving salvation to those who had earned it. The grace is giving salvation because Christ earned it to those who had merited the wrath of God. That's grace. Free grace. Glorious grace. But to make the law a means of salvation denies that grace of God. And it is unlawful, plainly, to use the law against grace. To make the law the way of salvation would destroy the gospel entirely. There'd be no gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news of the person and work of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the good news. It's the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anybody using the law as a means of salvation, anybody working his way to heaven, is saying, I don't need the gospel. This is an attack upon the atonement of Christ. It is a rejection of the blood shedding of the Savior. It is such a blasphemy as says that it doesn't matter that Christ was born, that Christ lived, that He died, that He rose again. I have the law and I can work my way to heaven. It's a denial of the gospel. And obviously, to use the law against the gospel is unlawful. It is unlawful for men to make God's law an excuse for sin. But it's equally unlawful for men to make God's law the way of salvation. Working your way into favor with God is a blasphemous repudiation of God's purpose in the law and in the gospel. And I want to make that clear. For salvation, and indeed after you've professed faith in Christ, you cannot work your way into a place of acceptance with God. You cannot work your way or merit your way or pay your way into a place where God accepts you, loves you, because of what you have done. It's Christ and His merit that provide the sole ground of the acceptance of both sinner and saint in the presence and sight of God. But then there's a third unlawful use of the law that I think is in Paul's mind in our text, and that is to use the law as a condemnation of believers. That was plainly the mission of the Judaizers. The law is good if a man use it lawfully. These people were clearly working on believers in Christ. Now remember, this was in Ephesus. Remember the people to whom, or among whom therefore they were working. When you read the account in Acts of the establishment of the church in Ephesus, and then when you read the epistle to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, you'll discover this was a church that was deeply taught in the doctrine of grace. It was deeply taught in the truth of our union with Christ and of our acceptance on the sole merit of Christ, of our redemption through the blood of Christ. The Ephesian epistle by many is thought to be the pinnacle of all Paul's writings. He steals heights and plumbs depths in that epistle that do not even get an address in other epistles that he wrote. Yet among these people, here were vain, jangling perverters of the law of God. And what were they doing? They were trying to rob God's believing people of the freedom they had by grace, of the assurance they enjoyed by grace, and they were trying to bring them back under condemnation by the law. That's what they were doing. And that's a vicious thing. It's an unlawful thing. Paul says that the law does not bear down upon God's people. Doesn't do it. And if you're using the law of God to beat Christians into the ground, you're misusing God's law. If you're using God's law to rob Christians of the assurance that they have in Christ, you're misusing God's law. I know preachers who made a livelihood out of that. And they thought themselves so saintly that it became the thing. And these were Reformed, Calvinistic, separated preachers. They thought they were so spiritual and they were so successful when they could have every Christian going out of the meeting doubting that he was ever saved. So that assurance is no longer a grace. Doubting is the great grace. What a perversion of God's law. When preachers try to bring Christians under guilt, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Judaizer that does it or whether it's a hyper-Calvinist that does it. It doesn't matter. It's an evil and wicked thing. Go to the book of Galatians. This is the thrust behind the Galatian error. The error was a use of the law that was addressed to people who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls, and it was to get them away from the all-sufficiency of Christ, to move them away from the assurance that came through faith in Jesus, to feel themselves under the condemnation of the law whereby they had to work up some merit with God. All they would say, we believe in Jesus, but we have to have Jesus plus, the blood plus, the cross plus. We must have our works to make us at least somewhat acceptable to God. That's to bring Christians back under condemnation. That's an illegal use of the law. Again, I want you to understand how radical Paul's teaching on this doctrine of justification is. He says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now notice where that comes. That comes in the first verse of Romans chapter 8. You'll not need to be a mathematician to know that Romans chapter 8 comes after Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 is the great spiritual unfolding of the heart of a believer. How once he had no consciousness of his sin, then the law of God came and convicted him of his sin, and it drove him to the Lord Jesus, and he received Christ. But even after receiving Christ as a Savior, there is this conflict within him. Why? Because in the flesh he's not yet perfect. There are things that he wants to do that somehow he can't get to doing. There are things that he hates to do, and yet he finds himself doing them. You've never been there? I would say if you've never been there, you've never been saved. But speaking of this struggling, battling Christian, he says, there is no condemnation. You see how radical it is? All the religions of men, doesn't matter whether they come from the left or from the right, all the religions of men have this in common, that they're going to tell that poor struggling Christian, you've got to do, and keep on doing to try and get yourself up to the place where maybe someday you'll be able to say, I've not got any condemnation. Paul says no such thing. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our merit. Christ is our perfection. We have faith in a perfect Savior. It's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the strength of the person in whom it resides that saves us. Bless God tonight. There's no condemnation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.